XNO. Keith Murphy.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Andy Fails.
I pity the fool.
It's the Murph and Andy Show, powered by AD.
You can do it!
On 1460 KXNO.
Murph and Andy Show on a Tuesday. Sports and more until 4. Alongside Andy Fails, I'm Keith Murphy. Andrew Downs back in studio after a long run at the depot. Welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah, it's good to be. So far, I've pushed every button the right way. I'm not sure how this is going to go. It's been like 2 weeks.
I know, and there's no sandwich for you in there or anything, so
I know,
get used
like,
to that.
Yeah, I'm going to be hungry in about half an hour.
The only time you would have had a run at a sandwich here is when the Woody Show was here. There's a big catered buffet outside the door.
Oh, yeah.
But other than that, that's it.
We roll out the red carpet for the national shows.
Welcome back to Vendoland. Andrew is with us. Andy, man, what a light show there was this morning. It was like being at a Vegas show or something. That the flashes coming in from my window, I don't think I've seen anything quite like that. Whereas that many flashes at 4:30 in the morning or so, and you were working at that time.
Yeah, it was really weird, and this has happened a bunch of times, but I drove to work, and everything was fine. I mean, I could see lightning in the distance, way off in the distance, but everything was dry, it was fine, and the dog food smell was about in downtown Des Moines. You ever get the hot dog food smell right before it's about to storm from the rendering plant over in the east side?
I guess I didn't put together the connection.
Yeah, because the wind will start to swirl before the weather system comes in, and it comes so it blows in from the east and it carries it kind of backwards, and you smell that stuff, because usually it blows, you know, from the west and blows that stuff out of here. But I could smell the dog food, and so I'm like, and I pulled in the parking lot, and Jerry Ann was already at work. She got in at 2 today. So I said, oh man,
here we go.
Got some stuff coming. And yeah, it was about 4:30, maybe close to 5 when it starts raining. It was raining so hard during today in Iowa, and hitting up against the big doors, the big swinging doors in the studio that go right outside. The water was coming under the door in like a steady stream of water. Patches had to get the mop out during the show. He was mopping.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, it was running under the door.
Those are the doors we used to pull the celebrity picker of the week on Beat the Bear. We'd open those doors, and the limo would pull in, and like Kurt Warner or Jim Walden or Tim Floyd or
how did they get out again?
Tom Davis. They'd pull in because the new set wasn't there.
Oh yeah,
at that
time. Yeah. The set's not there, right?
And they'd get out. That'd be on TV. You know, that would all be staged at the beginning of the show. Those doors, so I know those exact big swinging doors.
Water was coming down in sheets to the point that it was going under those doors and out onto the studio floor.
Man.
It was pouring down rain. So we had, I mean, there were accidents, tree limbs falling on wires. There were over 20,000 people, just Mid-American customers in the metro that were without power.
We were those customers. Yeah, we were those customers. We lost power around 4:30 in the morning, and I knew this right away because my wife Jenny is already up at that time every day. But she was up, and then I get our little burrowing rescue dog Loki, who just comes in and like just starts trying to dig a hole in the bed. You know, in her mind, she thinks she can burrow a hole into the mattress and hide.
Yeah,
and it just would not stop. Just continued.
Poor
so there,
dog.
I know. I feel terrible. We've tried a thunder jacket. That didn't work. But just dog was petrified. So once she couldn't dig a hole, she just kept trying to like dig under me. There's no sleeping through a dog trying to dig under you. But that continued. And then just the latest development in our little small world is just how much you take electricity for granted. Because my whole day I'm shaving by candlelight, you know, I just forget
during the daytime.
Yeah, our upstairs dark in the bathroom where I shave up there.
Okay.
So I'd take a candle. Yeah, I'd use a candle, and it's like, oh my gosh,
just go shave in a kitchen.
I can't use my because there's no mirror in the kitchen. I need a mirror. I got a man style beard.
No, I don't think I don't necessarily need a mirror. I can feel my way around.
Well, that's
all right. So anyway, you shave.
Oh yeah. So just trying to get around without the power, and I call you to come pick me up, and then the power comes on at the last minute.
Yeah, but that, fortunately, I was...
You were already at the house.
Yeah. I was looking down there at the bottom of your hill. That is just a big lake during a storm like that. Just pools water down there.
It gets bad enough. Cars float out of that. Oh, happen. Derek has a rendering plant smell anecdote, so he moves to the top of the line. Go ahead, Derek.
Well, I don't have quite as much an antidote, but more of an interesting smell added to the rendering plant. I know someone that lives down there on the east side of Des Moines, mm-hmm. and they said that on certain days, if the wind is just right, there's a warehouse down there where they store medical marijuana, and they said in their yard they can smell the breeze from the medical marijuana warehouse and the rendering plant. So
at the same time,
about that smell. Yeah, at the same time.
Yeah, you don't want both, right? You want one?
You do not want the rendering plant smell, period.
Period. All right, thanks, Derek. So the medical marijuana smell...
That smells like that?
Gets in there with the dog food smell?
But that's just the cannabidiol smell, right? I mean, it's not... That's so...
It doesn't
rendered
smell like
down. It doesn't smell
weed,
like a big, yeah.
Like a big joint.
Doesn't smell like, yeah, a bunch of big fat buds.
Doesn't smell like walking around San Francisco anywhere.
Yeah, it does smell like that there, I imagine.
Oh,
did
yeah.
You smell it everywhere?
Two smells, pot and pee.
Pee?
Yeah, yeah. So just a lot of problems with keeping
yeah,
people
well,
from
homeless.
Peeing on the sidewalks.
Yeah,
pee
all over the place.
It's everywhere.
It's pee. There's a pee smell.
Oh, yes.
For the pee stains?
Oh, yeah. 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 There wasn't just pee. We saw one guy, bless his heart, because, you know, a lot of the homeless, when you have a big population problem like that, mm-hmm. there's clearly some mental illness problems.
Oh, no doubt.
And this guy, he's taking a dump on the sidewalk in downtown San Francisco. I mean, that's just, it's not funny. It's disturbing. It's just sad.
On the sidewalk?
On the sidewalk. Yeah, just
there's no
right
better
there.
Place to go than the sidewalk.
Not in his mind.
You gotta go, you gotta go.
You went on the side of the highway.
More than once. Yep. That's why I keep those napkins in my glove compartment.
But that's the side of the highway. That's not
yeah,
like
I mean,
downtown.
Yeah, it decomposes. I go out in the weeds.
Yeah,
you gotta go. I mean, it's an emergency.
You're
you know,
thinking
I don't do it
of
for
the
sport.
You're thinking of the environment. Yeah. The whole time.
Well, I'm thinking mostly of the environment in my bowels, but. Yeah, I mean, you got to go, right?
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, it was quite a storm this morning. It was bad. I was really staying on top of the tornado warnings this morning on my phone and, you know, social media. Because Jerry Ann is really doing most of the heavy lifting in the show. She's on the air, you know, like Ed is at night when there's a warning.
Just so constantly.
She's on, and then Amber comes in, and she's helping too. So they're working real hard. And Jody and I are just trying to stay on top of all the warnings. And we're using Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and everything. We're just putting stuff out there, everything that we get. And I did a Facebook post that said, tornado warnings in Madison and Warren County. And I'm thinking, I really got a lot of response.
Hey, I'm getting big on social media here. People are really
just
paying attention to my warnings.
One alert after another about all these people commenting on my post on the tornado warning.
Hey, you're thinking maybe you should be doing the weather. Maybe you're the meteorologist.
And, you know, I get done with the show and I look and there's like 50 comments.
Wow.
I mean, who comments that much just on a tornado warning?
So you think maybe you know how to say it in a way that gets it more attention.
Yeah, it was like tornado warnings in Madison and Warren County, severe thunderstorm warnings throughout most of the rest of the Des Moines Metro.
It sounds like pretty clinical.
It does. Yeah. Like, what would you have to say to that? Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
You saved my life.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe. But for the most part, you just look at that and you say, oh, okay, a little piece of information from the news.
50
man.
Comments.
Yeah, all kinds of comments. Yeah, people likes and, you know, laughing emojis and stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, but
what's funny about a tornado?
But
warning?
I'm so busy, I don't have time to really stop and look. But I'm thinking that's funny that I've seen so many. So I get done with the show, and I go back out in the newsroom, and you know, another one of these comments things pops up. And so I pop open my post and I see what had happened. Autocorrect combined with my kind of poor vision in the morning with the monovision contact lenses.
Might have missed a key.
Well, it autocorrected to tomato warning. So it said tomato warning, sever thunderstorms. It took the E off the end. So you're, I didn't put the E on the end, and it didn't
you
correct
got two
it
things
because
going here.
Sever is a word, like severe is a word.
You got flying tomatoes. Yeah. I mean, you got a tomato warning
people
out there.
People loved. My own mom was making fun of me. It was a tomato warning.
And a sever a thunderstorm.
And as I turned out, though, I went home, as it turned out.
Tomatoes.
The tomato plants were knocked over because of the high wind. So there was, in fact, a tomato warning.
So you were... more right.
Somewhat right.
Yeah. Now, the thunderstorms were severed at one point, too.
Yeah. They're gone now. They severed off.
Where are
they? And then it's blue sky. But it is so strange. Again, everything was fine when I drove into work, and by the time I left around noon, nothing but blue sky. I didn't see any of that stuff. I was inside the whole time. Isn't that crazy?
It is.
Talking all about it.
I walk over to that window sometimes just to see the rain just
hitting
it hard.
Off, right? Yeah,
it's something else. Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. Antonio Brown returns to Raiders training camp for the final day, we think. Who knows? There's been so many reports. Hard Knocks tonight on HBO will get pulled into the AB orbit.
If he feeling a lot better, I got a brand new skin. It all trimmed up. It's been a journey, man, but I feel a lot better. Working with the NFL, getting the right equipment. I've been working hard on the side. I've been going, taking care of the feet. So, man, I want to give it to my teammates. So hopefully soon, get out there and get to work. You know, too much noise right now. More work, less noise. Felt like I was enemy of the state. Getting the feet trim up. I'm on every channel. Because AB is actually a good player, a really good player. And he's a handsome looking player, by the way. You know? So that's all it is right there.
He is a good player, but man, does he create a lot of drama.
Oh, he's high maintenance.
Oh, big goodness. Time. I mean, none of this is a surprise. He got a grandfathered year of a football helmet. The football helmet he keeps trying to get cleared is more than 10 years old, which even at the high school level, once a football helmet is 10 years, you have to change. You can't keep playing with a football helmet because of the safety regulations.
The padding starts breaking down at a certain point.
That no one believes he can't find one of 27 different approved helmets that will fit okay. And Rich Eisen finally went strong with an opinion. Where was this all the years he was on here? We just one strong opinion would have been nice, Rich. Rich had a strong opinion, and of course, it sides with the NFL.
You got a Hall of Fame career here, and it's not because of your helmet. I know that there's so many players are so superstitious. It's not because of your helmet. It's because you're a superior talent. Go find that kid who didn't get any offers, essentially, out of South Florida, had to go to Central Michigan, showed up in Pittsburgh as a late-round draft pick, and beat out Mike friggin' Wallace for a fat contract. And the whole Steelers Nation fell in love with that kid because of his passion for the game and his desire to be great. Find that guy, put him in a new helmet, and take the top of the offense off for Gruden. And be done with it. Why'd I get so upset?
I'm not sure.
You know why? Because I see the Sheehy Giuseppes of the world sleeping on beaches and in parks to get their shot in the NFL, and this is nuts.
Yeah, but Antonio Brown was once that guy.
I know. Find that guy, put him a new helmet, and go ball out.
Rich Eisen with the most passion I've ever heard from him, I think. And he is right. Antonio Brown does need to reconnect
with
that
Stephen
guy.
Stephen A. Smith in his sleep.
Yeah, Stephen A. Smith.
More boisterous than that when he's taking a bath.
That's Stephen A. Smith whispering.
Yeah, right.
That's Stephen A. Smith at Subway. Baker Mayfield says in a GQ story, he was shocked the Giants took Daniel Jones. Now, Mayfield will get ripped for this, I'm sure. Maybe he already is being ripped for this. But he sounds like an actual human being. Baker Mayfield is expressing the same opinion, that we all had. They did what? They took who? They drafted Daniel Jones, but people don't like that. We've talked about this many times. We say we want our athletes to be more interesting, but when they're candid, they do end up getting criticized for it. I bet he gets criticized for this.
Well, he's being more than candid. He's being Baker Mayfield candid.
Well, that's another level of candid.
It's because it's, you know how Baker Mayfield is, and he's very outspoken, right? And now I gave him a clean slate when he went to Cleveland. You know, I said, all right, the Oklahoma stuff is behind, because he established his reputation in college when he was at Oklahoma. But he goes to the pros, and watch him on Hard Knocks the whole season. He gets humbled down a few rungs and appears to just be exactly what Cleveland needs. I think he looks like what Cleveland needs. I mean, Cleveland needs a flag bearer. You know, somebody that's going to get out there and be the face and voice and attitude of the team, and, you know, start, you know, strut around like a peacock a little bit. I mean, Cleveland's been really forgettable for way too long.
And they've got two peacocks there now.
They do, right. But, I mean, they need the quarterback to be a guy that is like a super confident leader. At least that type of character is going to be good for Cleveland. So I've given him a clean slate. I mean, the guy has made some enemies, though. I mean, he makes enemies at the same time that he wins people over. I mean, he wins fans and makes enemies. Everybody's got an opinion on this guy.
Yeah, oh, for
one
sure.
One way or the other.
Yeah, he talks a lot.
He does. And the Cleveland fans, they love this right now, and he's playing well. And it's all good as long as he keeps playing well and Cleveland keeps winning. Or they win more and more each year.
Yeah, they're a popular pick to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, right, which is nuts.
But, yeah, don't wait for that.
No, they are getting significantly better. And for now, this is all good because they're winning.
We have a quickie poll presented by WCI Pools and Spas.
We do. What is more your impression of Baker Mayfield, more positive or more negative?
It's more positive for me.
Yeah, me too. I like it.
For now.
There is some negative, right. And, yeah. And you can see it rubbing the other way pretty quickly. But as of right now, I don't need to see the video of him dancing anymore. But beyond that, it's mostly positive.
Me too, and that's where I'm at, right? And as long as he keeps winning and this keeps working, right? I mean, you keep walking the walk as you're talking all this talk, then it's good. But I mean, he loses, and there will instantly appear a long line of people who have been pissed off by him, waiting to kick him while he's down. I mean, you know how that goes, right?
I do.
You know how that goes. But as long as he keeps winning, all of those people will keep trying to give him another chance.
Jimmy Garoppolo looked bad last night versus the Broncos. Now it's limited amount of play. That's the way it goes in the preseason. But he finishes the game with a 0 quarterback rating. It shouldn't be overreacted to. It is a small sample size. He's coming off an ACL. He's definitely rusty. But he is given a big contract and a lot of excitement about the future based on a pretty small sample size. And some of these guys don't pan out. I mean, you just don't know. Who else did the Patriots have that went to?
Matt Castle,
so I'm thinking of.
I think they've had more than that.
A lot of people think of that as Bill Belichick's best coaching year. Brady goes down. Matt Castle might have even led the Patriots to the playoffs.
Came
or
right
at
least
in 10 wins or so.
They were still very good. Yeah.
Yeah, they were still very good. So Garoppolo may still be good, and we don't know that he's bad. We just don't know. It's a small sample size, and some of it was with the 49ers at a time where there wasn't much at stake in the games. The Bears are going to sit David Montgomery.
Yeah, he's done. For the preseason, the last that I read on Monday was that he was done for the preseason.
They saw enough.
Matt Nagy was going to keep him in bubble wrap and keep him out of the rest of the pre. I mean, he's looked good. We haven't seen much of him in camp. You know, you just don't see much of players in camp, but he looked good in the one game, looked fine. I mean, it was just a really small sample size. But
caught passes.
He's their guy, right? I mean, they really need him to do well. And that's one thing you don't see too much of in the preseason is number one running backs or even number two running backs. I mean, if you're a fan of running backs, you hate the preseason. You don't see boo of those guys, right? I mean, there's just, if you've got a really good number one running back, you already know it. Those guys do not need to prove anything in the preseason, right? I mean, they are wrapped up. You get one little look at them, and I imagine those coaches are real tempted to just do what he's doing and just shut him down the rest of the preseason. Because really, I mean, they're running to daylight. They're making one read and they're taking off.
They
don't need to practice this stuff over and over again.
The preseason is getting where teams are sitting offensive and defensive starters.
Well, it's
for
really
the entire
important
game.
You have to have the preseason. I mean, these rosters are too big. There are so many players out there still vying for spots, and they need this preseason.
It's only 53 players,
right? And there are so many players vying for each one of them, just dying to get on those teams, and that's where they make it or break it, is in the preseason, or at least their best chance. And so they need it. The problem is the fans don't. You know, I mean, the fans don't want to sit through that. They certainly don't want to pay the price for the tickets that they're having to pay. It's a ripoff.
Josh Gordon has been reinstated by the NFL. You knew this. He's immediately deactivated by Bill Belichick and the Patriots. You forget how good, or I did until I looked up the stats. He was really good with the Patriots and before that too. But with the Patriots last year, he was like Brady's guy. He was the yards per catch guy by far. I mean, he was not the dump off receiver that Brady uses so frequently. He could stretch the field. He was a deep threat. He caught some touchdowns. They lost him and still won the Super Bowl, which I remember thinking at the time.
Brady's favorite target is the next one.
Yes, it has proven again. Yeah, it's Edelman ultimately, but it at one time it was Gronk and
Wes Welker,
Gordon
Danny Amendola, and yeah. just one after another. But you know, Josh Gordon is a guy though that he always shoots himself in the foot. Right,
he has addiction problems clearly,
and I don't know. I don't know exactly what Bill Belichick's doing here, but something tells me it's going to be the right decision. I mean, either A, he shut him down, he's deactivated him, and he's just going to keep him on the roster. Or either A, he's deactivated him, and he's just never going to play him because he's burned his bridge, gotten his one chance. Or he's just going to shut him down for a while, make him keep proving that he is clean, and then give him a shot later in the season. You know that he can do the job. He doesn't need to see, he doesn't need to be, you know, proven to on the field.
I'd guess B. Of those two, I'd guess
B.
He may
bring him out in November or something, you know, really late in the season where just all, you know, everybody else is banged up, or what, do you bring this guy in? Meanwhile, all that time he stayed clean and sober. And then genius, you got this, you know,
deep threat
that's nice and healthy and fresh, comes off the bench, and it turns out to be yet another genius Belichick move.
We spoke too soon on the University of Illinois. That's next.
Play a little Guess Whose Birthday. It's powered by Cellular Advantage. Murph, we'll start with you. Guess Whose Birthday.
Because I'm on a boat. Picture drink. I'm on a boat, bitch. We drinking Santana champ because it's so crisp. I got my swim trunks and my flipping floppies. I'm flipping burgers. You at Kinko straight flipping cabbage.
Andy Samberg?
It is, yeah.
God, that's funny. I love the song with Michael Bolton. Just Captain Jack Sparrow. Man,
right.
It's just really cool of Bolton to do that too. Andy Samberg is 44.
He's 41, so that's a miss. Andy, guess whose birthday?
Hey, mama said the way you move gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove.
That's Robert Plant.
It is.
That's a way to start right there.
Yeah,
man, just go ahead and get right into that song.
Kicks it in. Robert Plant is 74.
He's 71, so that's also a miss. Murph, guess whose birthday?
My first guest tonight is a 5-time Oscar nominee who has starred in Enchanted, The Fighter, and American Hustle. Her latest film is Nocturnal Animals. Please welcome the lovely and talented
Amy Adams.
Yep.
And I'm still getting over the opening credits.
Yep.
To Nocturnal Animals. And the movie goes on from there. It's just like a film noir. But yeah, you're still trying to shake.
You are.
Those 2 minutes.
While. I'm still trying to shake it. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I haven't seen it yet.
Man, season 2 of Mindhunter just came out on Netflix. That's a good, strong season 1 there. Amy Adams is 40.
She is 45. Put some pressure on you, Andy. Guess whose birthday?
As I'm walking to the press room, I think I got to, you know, pass a little gas here. So I'm walking by myself. Who's going to know? Only a little something extra came out.
You pooped in your pants.
I pooped my pants. God.
That's Al Roker.
It is.
I can never unhear that.
It's really candid. You're opening it all up there.
I know.
You're telling everything.
And he has kind of a shuffling walk, and it makes me always wonder if.
Is he right now? Is he crop dusting?
Is he trying to make his way?
Is he
out
sharding?
Of the room?
Is he sharding right now?
Is he trying to get to the bathroom now? He's 60. I think. Al Roker is 65.
He is 65.
Oh, man. Guys,
all right, let's see. Murph, how old is Halle Berry? She looked good on Instagram last week.
Yeah.
She did. She's in the no bra club. We pointed that out.
Welcome to the club, Halle Berry. She is...
It's quite a way to announce that you're in the club. I might have.
It's a good way. She's 51.
She's not, Andy. Is she older or younger?
She's older.
She's 53, Andy. You win.
God, that was like just a playoff battle there. That was just back and forth, and it goes to overtime.
Got to talk about Halle Berry and
Al Roker. Oh, and didn't Al Roker had like lap band or something, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
So maybe he was talking about that at the time and just...
Well, you just know that he's had some health issues, so you wonder if that's all tied together.
Yeah, and...
Does that happen when you have that lap band surgery?
I'm guessing it might.
What was he talking... was he talking...
So that...
Where was he?
It's got to be a broader story.
He was at the White House when that happened.
Yeah, right. But where is he telling that story?
It was
the Brown House.
Used to be white.
It was part of, I think, like the lap band story, just kind of like his health. Yeah, he was being candid about the difficulties of whatever.
Weren't there other difficulties he could have talked about?
I'm sure, but that's the one that stuck out to me, so I've played it every year for like 5 years.
He wishes you wouldn't, I think, at this point. Yeah, we've all overshared. Al Roker's lives on. USA Today has recruiting spending from the Power 5 football teams. It's an interesting look. More than anything, when you come away with it, it'll remind you of the river of cash that is flowing into these schools, mainly through the media deals, like in the case of the Big Ten conference deal. There's so much money, and for the most part, the workforce isn't being paid, so the money has to go somewhere, so they keep finding ways to spend it. Facilities, coaches' salaries, athletic director salaries. I mean, Gary Barta is about to make more than $1 million a year. But the recruiting spending, comparing 2013, so most of these programs are now spending more than these numbers here. But the numbers compare 2013 recruiting budget in football to 2018. Iowa State is up 85% to $1.7 million for football recruiting.
In 5 years.
Each year. In 5 years, up 85%.
That's incredible.
Iowa is up 28% in those 5 years, but interestingly spends $1 million less than Iowa State on recruiting budget.
They don't have to travel as much.
Iowa State's recruiting budget is $1.7 million, or it was last year. Iowa's is $609,000. Georgia, national championship contender, is up 352% to $2.6 million.
Wow.
For recruiting. Interestingly, there are a couple of schools that are down Not many, but a few. Georgia Tech and Auburn are both down 22% from their budgets 5 years ago, which goes against...
Auburn was seemed like they were better 5 years ago. Seemed like it.
Right.
Georgia Tech, I have no idea what they were doing 5 years ago.
Well, they were playing Iowa. No, that was longer.
2010.
Yes. So they were playing Iowa in the Orange Bowl, but that goes back
10 seasons ago.
Even more. Yeah. All right. Let's. We mentioned that why would anybody choose Illinois football in this day and age? And unbeknownst to me, they've just upped their whole game, upped the whole game over there in Champaign.
They are opening this new football center. I want to say training center, but it's way more than that.
Yeah, you have to have one now. Everyone has a football training center.
You do, right. The Harry Dale, or Henry Dale and Betty Smith Football Center in Champaign.
Henry Dale and Betty Smith, they had to put two names on it because of the donation.
Well, maybe
levels.
They were married and they just, you know, she didn't take his name. Who knows? Yeah, maybe there were just two of them that got together and gave $79 million to Illinois football. Can you imagine? I just love Illinois football so much, I'm going to give them my fortune. Can you imagine anybody saying that? You know, there's just nothing better than fighting Illini football.
Maybe they're just so tired of watching losing football, they think, you know what? I'm going to give my money away, and then maybe before I die, I'll see a good football team again. They were in the Rose Bowl not that long ago.
All of the teams around them are better.
Yeah, and they're in Illinois. Like, they're not that far from Chicago.
No, they're right there from Chicago.
Yeah, not far from Ohio.
And not far from St. Louis and Indianapolis. And I mean, many other places like that. There's no reason they should be this bad this long. But here's what this place has got. State-of-the-art sports medicine suite. Nutrition center, very standard.
No, yeah, less. Gotta have a nutrition center.
But you look
center,
at the pictures, no, of this, it's top shelf. These are really not, this is like hospitals don't have nicer facilities than this.
So, like, in
nutrition,
your mind,
center,
as nice as Iowa's, as Iowa State's, better than both. I mean, at least, how does it look?
Well, I mean, it looks nicer. It looks nicer than Iowa's because it's newer. I mean, once Iowa gets a newer one, then it'll be nice. I mean, everybody just outdoes.
Yeah,
then keeps up with the Joneses.
One, right.
Yeah, everybody has a bigger one. In talking with Powerlift, you know, the guys design all the weight equipment up in Jefferson, do all that stuff. They didn't do the weight room here in Illinois. It doesn't look like it. Looks like that's Hammer Strength, but they just laid it out. They're like, everybody kind of bases what they want on the most recent weight room that we unveiled, and they say we want ours to be better than blank, whoever just unveiled their weight room. So Iowa State's came out, and then Iowa wanted a new one, or maybe it was vice versa. Whoever, they were comparing their weight room to the other one. Strength and conditioning complex, a recruiting lounge.
Just to bring the recruits in.
Just to
say,
bring the recruits in and blow them away like a country club, blow them away with the amenities. The NFL alumni locker room, which, I mean, I don't think of Illinois as having a lot of NFL alumni. I mean, they've had some, certainly.
Probably far more than we think.
Yeah, we don't keep up with it. But it's still not, you know, it's not Ohio State or something where you need an alumni locker room. What is that for?
I think it's for putting up reminders that you can get to the NFL.
It's the regular locker room, but it just has a bunch of reminders that you can get to the NFL there, or it's a place for your alumni who went to the NFL to come back to.
I feel like it's more about the NFL. I mean, you know what it's like at Iowa. You tour around there. You can't walk without a reminder of, boy, you go to Iowa, there's a good chance you can go to the NFL. I mean, that's the dream that all these recruits have, that they're going to be NFL football players.
Rooftop terrace with an outdoor kitchen. A mini golf course.
That'll get used a lot.
A bowling alley. Well, I've seen pictures of this. A really nice bowling alley. It's not huge, but it's a nice bowling alley.
It's also smart. There is another level to this that we don't talk about enough, and that is, and I don't think it's necessarily good for the feeling of athletes coexisting or being mingled
Real
or
students.
Mixed in with the actual students, but they're finding ways to keep the players in the football facility even longer, even more.
You look at this, there's no reason they need to leave. Massive locker room. So there's another locker room. There's the players' locker room. This NFL alumni locker room is separate. It's something else.
Are there cots? Are there beds like LSU just put in?
Game room. I mean, they've got pool, the little papa shot basketball, shuffleboard, foosball, ping pong, everything in here. There's a barbershop.
A barbershop in the football facility.
Revamped position rooms and the Levenick Auditorium with a view over the practice field, Memorial Stadium, and the State Farm Center, whatever that is. It's incredible. It looks like a country club. And this is Illinois. This is how much money there is out there to burn. Right
this
now.
Is a bad football program.
Really bad.
But you got to spend it. You got to do something with all that money. Yeah, I mean, it just keeps coming in.
If you don't spend it, you'll lose it.
Jeez,
it is incredible.
Yeah, those are not tax dollars that
those are donations. They could have gone somewhere else, there's no doubt. But, I mean, it's coming to the athletics department, so they're going to spend it.
Across the Murph and Andy Show platforms, a quickie poll, another one. It is on a couple of outstanding, at least it would appear this way at this time, college football weekends coming up in Iowa or of interest to Iowa and Iowa State fans.
Which is the better weekend of college football? Is it November 9th where you have Iowa State at Oklahoma and Iowa at Wisconsin? Or is it the following week, the 16th, where you have Iowa State at home against Texas and Iowa at home against Minnesota?
Boy, on the surface, it's the first one. I mean, from where we sit now, because you've got Iowa State playing Oklahoma, you've got Iowa playing Wisconsin. Those are great venues, but they are away.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the other one here, you got Texas coming into Jack Trice Stadium. That's been almost a bizarre series, and you don't know what's going
to
happen.
And this late November, like when was the last time Texas had to come this far north in cold mm-hmm. weather?
Yeah. And there could be big stakes, like there were last year at the game in Austin. Iowa plays Minnesota, which is the least, at least as it appears now, it's the least appealing of the four potential games, but it is for Floyd of Rosedale, and it is a bordering rival state.
It's a Minnesota team that feels like it's got some upward traction, right?
Yeah, you get to beat P.J. Fleck.
Home games are flat out better than away games. I mean, those weekends. But those are really good away games.
They are.
You're probably going to watch it on TV anyway.
If I'm watching TV, I'm right where I'm sitting now. I'm gonna pick that Iowa State at Oklahoma, Iowa, Wisconsin weekend.
But if you're an Iowa State fan, which are you more excited about?
Texas coming to Jack Trice Stadium.
Primarily, I mean, obviously they're here, but primarily, don't you feel like you have a better chance of winning that game, and so therefore you're more excited about it?
Yeah, I think Iowa State fans feel and should that they have a chance to win every game, but Oklahoma has this circled.
Yeah, it's away, and it's still Oklahoma.
Yeah,
and depending on pessimism or optimism, I saw somebody on Twitter said, well, you know, that second weekend, both of these teams could be coming off of losses, which would make those games a little less appealing, right? But if they're coming off wins that weekend, if Iowa State just went down and beat Oklahoma, if Iowa just went over and beat Wisconsin, these games mean that much mm-hmm. more. So if you're an optimistic fan, that second week could have even higher stakes.
It's fun to sit here and just think about it, and it'll be cold.
There could potentially be a lot on the table.
I hope there is.
For both of these weekends, really.
What are the chances that both of these teams have the type of season that
probably not very
are capable,
good.
Right?
And, yeah, I mean, like, we built it up
so too much fun right now because both fan bases are so excited. There's so much out there. They both think they have a chance to, you know, like win the conference, win 10 games, go to major bowl games. And it's just the odds of that happening for both teams are so low that, you know, at one point we're going to look back at this and be like, man, remember when we thought that Iowa was a 10-win team? Remember we thought Iowa State was going to go down to Oklahoma with a chance to win the conference? Like, one of those things is not going to be true, right? Most likely.
Their weekends don't line up great where we have both teams at home with gigantic games in their home stadiums on the same weekend, because those are a lot of fun for us, right? I mean, everybody's excited. Everybody's full of hope. We just can, you know, it's easy to kill. You know, we can do a really good two-hour show with everybody talking about two huge home games coming up on one single weekend. They don't line up all that well. This is I think these are the two best football weekends, potentially, but it all depends on what happens before that.
Yeah, Corey Wentworth sent a simulation here, and thank you for tweeting to us, Corey. A guy on Reddit, College Football, simulated an entire season over the past couple of months, and just to get to the most interesting part for most of the people listening, Iowa State ends up 11-2 in the Sugar Bowl, and Iowa ends up 9-4 in the Rose Bowl.
Jeez.
That's a simulated game?
Yeah.
So 9-4 would be Iowa going to the Big Ten championship game.
Like losing it.
Or you know, going in as an 8-4 team somehow, winning that game and going to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, because they could win it and not go to the college football playoff. But I think you would...
Probably a 9-3 team that goes to the championship, loses to a Michigan, and still gets into the Rose Bowl like they did in 2015.
At 9-4. Yeah,
Iowa State let that happen.
Iowa State at 11-2.
Can you imagine an 11 win?
Do you know what it'd be like around here at 11-2?
No. Nobody does.
See, all this talk makes me want to just wear a cup every day.
I know.
Right? Doesn't it?
Yes.
Iowa State, the Sugar Bowl. Oh, my gosh. They'd have to send 10 Busch Light beer guys. They couldn't just send that one guy with the perfect razor stubble. When we come back, Throwdowns on the Murph and Andy Show, 14th.
We are. Don't let me throw it down. It's time for Throwdowns. Powered by Heartland Tire and Auto Center.
All right, let's throw it down, Murph. With another season like the past two, Nate Stanley will statistically be one of the best quarterbacks in Hawkeye history. Just 23 touchdowns this season would overtake Chuck Long's career number, and 3,000 yards would put him second all-time on that list. What does Stanley need to do this season for you to consider him an all-time Hawkeye great?
He's going to break records if he stays healthy, but that's not it. It's not just records. It's what you see with your own eyes. It's you know greatness when you see it, and he's not there yet. I think he would need to lead with this schedule, Iowa, to a Big Ten championship, like an outright Big Ten championship. And then I think he joins that conversation because he would have to be that good. Taking the sports writers' emotions out of polls or regional bias, pro football focused, just goes by the data. And Pro Football Focus has Iowa like the number 13 team in the country, does not have Iowa State or Nebraska even ranked. But Pro Football Focus says, I think accurately, that Iowa's entire season comes down to Nate Stanley, that he has the tools and he's got the stats, but he's been wildly inconsistent and he's been bad in road games. He's got to be more consistent. He's got to stop overthrowing wide open guys, and he has to lead them to some road wins when the pressure is dialed up high. He did lead them to a win in the Outback Bowl. That's a positive step, and he's got a good rep as being a hard worker and a nice guy. So I wish him well, but he's got to lead them to some much bigger wins to join the conversation of the great quarterbacks at Iowa.
Yeah, I think he needs more signature wins, right? It's as simple as that. More wins that you remember him by. He has the Ohio State game in 2017, right? That's the first one you think of. He had a great game against Iowa State in 2017 also. I mean, you remember Nate Stanley in those games, but there are also a bunch of other games, Penn State last year, for example, where he was just... for whatever reason, checked out of that game, and he was not there when they needed him. As a matter of fact, he was making big-time mistakes when they really needed him to just make simple plays and missing open receivers. So I think if he has two more signature wins and Iowa has a good season this year, maybe just in spite of him, two signature wins and Iowa has a good season this year, yeah, then he does go down as one of the all-time greats, because people like to think fondly of the players that they followed and rooted for. They don't want to sour on the guy in his last year.
Andy, Jimmy Garoppolo returned last night for the 49ers, posted a 0.0 quarterback rating, going 1-for-6 with no yards and an interception. When a player struggles in the preseason, how much does that make you worry about their upcoming year?
Well, I mean, it's such a small window, right, that you're going to see the starting quarterback. It's the only thing that you have to go on. With Jimmy Garoppolo, it's been so long since you've seen anything real from him. I mean, it was out all last season, that you are going to overreact to this one thing. But it's one little game. It's a really small sample size. It's way too soon to judge him. But the question is, for now, is how much more will you actually see of him before the season starts? In the meantime, we will be fixated on that game last night.
I don't think you overreact to it because, he's coming off an injury and needs to shake the rust, and B, he didn't get a chance to play through the bad start. I mean, sometimes guys have a bad first quarter, and then they go on to have a great game. He's limited on reps, as all guys are in the preseason, so we don't know. So don't overreact to it a lot. And preseason is a little bit like practice versus regular season. And we had this conversation yesterday, and man, did that go in a crazy direction. We were talking about practice player versus game player, and it made me think of Ulysses Waldo. And by the end of the show, our listeners had told us that Ulysses Waldo had just died. So last night, I had to let some of our old teammates know, and they didn't know about Ulysses. So, man, I just don't know what's going to happen on this show.
Rest in peace. Murph, there's a dumb thing going around on Twitter saying you should keep your air conditioner set at 78 during the day, 82 when you're asleep. My house is set at 73. Where do you keep your thermostat during the summer?
Jeez, who said that? Jimmy Carter? I mean, 78 and 82? No.
Jimmy Carter? He's like 98 years old.
Yeah, but he oversaw the energy crisis in America.
Oh, he was trying to get P.O. Okay.
Yeah, he was trying to help out back in the day. We set our thermostat at 73, and that does make the main level too cold, but it drops the top level all the way down to about 82. So that is the main reason we set it lower than we probably should.
That's not that low. That's not that low at all. No, ours is at 74. And it probably, everybody should get those programmable thermostats that rise and fall, but there's pretty much people around our house all day, so there's no good time to turn it way up. And
you've got a turnstile of kids coming in and out of your house.
Oh, my God. Yeah, just constantly.
All right. He pulls up on Twitter at Murph_Andy. Who won throwdowns? Was it Murph? Was it Andy?
That's going to do it for hour number one of the Murph and Andy Show. We're back, though, with hour number two, and we hope you'll join us for that. We appreciate you listening on this iHeartRadio station. We'll get it started with Trending Iowa, hour number two, right here on 1460 KXNO.